Well, it is a real privilege for me to share the word with you again this evening. It really is. This is my passion, to just boldly declare the good news of the gospel. This is what I love. And it's an absolute honor for me to share with you this evening. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you more of what He's called you to. I'd like to share with you a message entitled, The Power of Prophecy to Disciple Nations. You know that Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. All nations. I believe that what the church has tapped into is only a smidgen of the fullness of what He's called us to. I think there's so much more for the church to be living in and to be operating in. Discipling nations is absolutely impossible in our own strength. But by the power of God, all things are possible. And I believe that the key to us inheriting the earth as a people of God is prophecy. Now, what does prophecy mean? Prophecy is releasing hope over hopeless situations. A lot of you tonight may be in hopeless situations. You see hopeless situations. You even here in Africa, you see hopelessness all around you. My friend, Jesus is the hope of all nations. And if you see hopelessness, look to Jesus and you'll see hope in that hopelessness. And the Greek word for prophecy is prophetio, which means literally speak under divine inspiration. And friends, God is a good God. He only has nice things to say. His judgment was poured out on His Son Jesus at the cross. And He's not speaking judgment today. We so often think that earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and tsunamis are the judgment of God. But that goes against Scripture, which says that Jesus absorbed the full judgment of God, the full wrath of God. Friends, God is in a good mood. He's a happy God. He's a good God. There's only joy in heaven. There's no weeping. There's no sorrow in heaven. And so prophecy should reflect the divine utterances of what His kingdom looks like, which is good things, which is hope, which is life. Proverbs 18:21 says in the Message, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And friends, God gave Adam and Eve a commission when He created them. The earth is yours, subdue it. And we have authority in our lips. What we speak over literally has the power to happen. What happened when Winston Churchill had the vision to land the troops at Normandy? What happened when Martin Luther King had the vision to topple a religious system, a government which said that black people were second rate, second class? It started with the vision, and then they spoke it into being. They declared their dream. They declared their vision. And those words became reality. We cannot see the vision of God, the kingdom of heaven come to earth, unless we speak it into being. And friends, if God only has nice things to say, then why do we go around speaking negative words of death? We must align ourselves with the kingdom of heaven, which is a good kingdom. My first point is that God is a God of hope. And through what Jesus did on the cross, He is releasing hope unto the nations until His return. Romans 15:13 says, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That's what God wants to do, to fill you with all joy and peace. Maybe right now in your circumstance, you don't feel any joy or any peace. My friend, there's hope for you. Because the God of hope wants to fill you with all joy and all peace. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to overflow. He wants it to come from within like a river. And it can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look throughout Scripture where the Holy Spirit was poured out, especially through the book of Acts, as the Holy Spirit is poured out, they were overwhelmed with joy. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Which is why it's so important we are filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm aware that there are many people who say that, oh no, you've got to be careful of going after the Holy Spirit, seeking manifestations, seeking after those things. Because it becomes all about us. It's very selfish, you know. Well, my friend, if all they are doing is seeking after the joy of the Lord, seeking after the true God of heaven, being intoxicated with who He is, His love and His joy, then they should naturally be joyful people, and wherever they go, they'll be happy people. So what is selfish about that? It's not selfish to go after the Holy Spirit. It's godly. God, I want more of you. Because I live in a fallen world, I still have a flesh and a mind, and I need your joy. I need you, Holy Spirit. And I know it can't come by theory. I need the reality of your presence. I need the reality of who you are, Holy Spirit. So I'm coming, I'm seeking, I'm going after the next opportunity I can to be filled with your Spirit. Alan, you beauty. Teresa, would you like to come up and just share a testimony of what happened last week? This is a wonderful testimony.
What I can say is God just absolutely, completely poured out His glory on me last week. And it was the most incredible thing. I've had experiences in the Holy Spirit years ago. I mean, I've laughed in the Spirit and, you know, I have been touched by God. But wow, last weekend was just so powerful. It was incredible. And I had been like this jumping, energizing bunny the whole week, just so excited. And I just feel like I'm on this incredible journey with God. And last year, I went to the ladies' camp at the Highway Ladies. And I was so skeptical about what was going on. And I was convinced it was demonic. And I was like, just, this is not God. But then we started listening to the Rob Rufus teachings, my husband and I, and we just had such a revelation of this whole grace teaching, and I was like, wow, God, how did I not see it before? And then we came to Highway when Rob Rufus came now again a few weeks ago, and I was really expecting this incredible touch from God, and I was disappointed because I didn't really experience anything when I came that weekend. I was like, wow, God, I really was expecting a powerful touch from you, but that's fine. You know when you want to touch me and you know what you're doing in my life. Well, I'll tell you what, last weekend, when they said they're doing the fire tunnel, I was like, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I took my shoes off and I said, I'm ready for this. Because still, even when I got ready for church in the evening, I still thought, I wonder if I should wear high heels, because just now the power of God comes and I've got these difficult high heels to get off because they've got these straps, you know. Anyway, cut a long story short. I came through and I don't even think I got to the second person. And next minute, I just felt the most incredible sense of God's love for me. And I've had dreams of that before where I've sobbed in my dreams. But I never really experienced it like I did in reality, in real life. And I think I got to the second person. And all of a sudden, I just sensed God's love in such a powerful way that all I could do was sob. And I don't know where I was in the fire tunnel, but all I know is next minute it was just me and God. Because, you know, you can be in the glory and be aware of what's going around you, but all of a sudden, I wasn't even aware of anything. Even the sound of everything around me just was totally blocked off, and it was just me and God. And it was just an incredible sense of God's love just pouring down and pouring down. And I just remember sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And next minute, I just know I was shaking and trembling like I've never. It was like, I don't know, it was just completely uncontrollable. And next minute, just joy. Like, I mean, I've experienced God's joy, but whew, I tell you what. And after that, it was just, I kept on having the sense that I'm on this incredible joy ride with God. It was like, woohoo! It was like, wow, God, I know that what you've got planned for me is so incredible that I'm ready, God. Let's just go. Anyway, and then, cut a long story short, I mean, whoever was here must have seen. I mean, I was lying there and I was absolutely completely out of it. And next minute I got up anyway and I sort of was coming out of it, and then some girl walked up to me and she started prophesying over me and gave me this really awesome word that morning I had asked God for an answer, and that evening she came with the answer. And next minute God's love was poured out again and I started sobbing all over again. And just next minute I was on the floor and I was laughing and crying and laughing and crying and then laughing and laughing, and there's just such incredible joy again. Anyway, so then we go home. we get there and I can't stop laughing. And my son had came and lay on the floor with me earlier in the evening, the second time I got in touch, and he was laughing, crying, but I don't think he experienced the absolute complete full glory of God yet. And when we got home, well, the glory of God just came upon him. And him and I were just lying on the bed, crying and laughing and crying and laughing. And I'm saying, yes, Father, baptize him in your love. Baptize him in your love. And he's sobbing. And then he's laughing and he's sobbing and then he's laughing. Anyway, and then my husband and my daughter come and they join in. They said, yes, we also want to come. Pray for us too. So now my son and I are praying also, God, just baptize them in your love. Not too much happened, but then my husband said, no, that's it. No, come, we're going downstairs and we're going to trust God for this, for his glory to fall on us. And my husband, myself, and my son stood and we just laid hands on our daughter, and next minute, she just started sobbing from her soul. You know when you cry right from the pit of your soul? And I just knew God's love was just being poured out on her, because I could recognize that's the same thing I experienced, you know? And she was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And then she got up and she was so drunk, she couldn't walk properly. And then she sat on the couch. And then we started praying for my son, JD. And next minute, Angelique starts sobbing all over again. It started again. And she's sitting on the couch. And next minute, I could just see God was pouring his love out on her again a second time. So he gave her a double whammy. And then JD, next minute, he just started praying in tongues. And he's never prayed in tongues. So he received his tongue. And he was also sobbing. And it was just this most incredible experience of God just pouring his spirit out on us as a family. And then the next morning, I couldn't get ready for work because I was so busy laughing. I was like, just on this incredible ride. Woohoo! And I couldn't stop laughing. And I was in the shower and I was laughing and I was laughing. I'm saying, Lord, I really got to get ready for work. It was incredible. And now I'm standing with my towel and I'm laughing and I'm laughing. I got my toothbrush in my hand. I'm going, Lord, I really got to get ready for work. Woohoo! And I started laughing again and I couldn't stop. I could not stop. I'm thinking, I've got to still make sandwiches. I've got to get ready to go to work. And I just, Lord, I know, how am I going to do this? And every time I said, Lord, I've really got to get ready for work, I was just like, ah! All over again. Next thing I had my whole family standing and looking at me like, God, what are you doing? It was amazing. Eventually, I went to my husband with my toothbrush. I was like, ah! Eventually, he took my toothbrush. He loaded it for me because I just couldn't stop. Anyway, I went to work laughing, but I managed to get it sort of under control. But I could just feel the presence of God was still on me. And I work at his church school. And there's a girl here at Highway, also comes here, Deline. Hey, Deline. She also works at his church school with me. And we have a prayer time every morning where all the teachers get together and pray before we start our day. And the kids are all in chaplaincy. And Deline begins to share the testimony of what God, because God had also touched her in a powerful way the night before. And I was like, God, I'm thinking, Deline, I don't know if you should share this now, you know? I'm like, you know, these people aren't all that in favor of this grace thing. Oh, God, I'm not going to be afraid of the gospel. I'm not going to be ashamed to share the gospel. I'm going to share it too. I'm going to share my testimony too. So I shared my testimony as well. And I shared how God poured his spirit out on us as a family. And I said to Stoff, you know what, guys? God is beginning to pour his spirit out on the earth. And we need to be ready. We need to be hungry. Well, they were agreeing with me, but they didn't realize what God was about to do. It was so amazing. Woo, woohoo! Then, I'm sitting there, I say, God, I thank you that you're going to pour your glory out on this place. Father, I thank you for an outpouring of your spirit in this place. And next minute, I'm up on my chair acting like a hooligan like I did the night before. I said, yes, Lord! Woo! And I went crazy. And Deline's standing there and she's shaking. And next minute, there's a girl in our staff that started crying. And she's the principal's daughter. And she was sobbing. I asked her 2 days later when I finally got the chance, when I was washing in the corridor, I said to her, I just want to ask you, did you experience anything in the morning before when we asked God to pour His Spirit out? She says, you know what, Teresa? I have never experienced God's power come and fill me like He did that morning. She says, I've cried in His presence, but wow. She says, my whole body was trembling and shaking on the inside. And another girl was passing by on the staff as well when I happened to be talking to her. And she said, what's going on? So I told her. She says, I experienced the same thing. It was amazing. I just felt the power of God. And I was like, wow, God, you are really doing something awesome. So there was an overspilling of that. So when you open yourself up and you allow God to touch you, trust that that will spill over to those around you. It's awesome.
Woo, come on, Lord. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are, Lord. You're pouring out Your Spirit, and Your Word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And so we just pray that You would make us hungry and thirsty, Lord. If we're not hungry, then make us hungry, Father. We just ask You, Lord, please. Lord, we just give up our fear of man right now. We trade our fear of man for no fear. Jesus, You humbled Yourself completely. And so we just trade everything and we just want You, Lord. We hunger and we thirst after You, Lord. Thank You, Father. You see our hearts, Lord, each and every one of us. It doesn't matter wherever we're at. You see our hearts, Father. You're a good Father. You're a good Dad. You see our hearts, Lord. Whoa. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Yes. Jesus is the yes. Jesus is the yes. Jesus is the yes. Whoa. Jesus, we bless You. Whoa. Okay, thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are awesome. You see, my second point tonight is, it is our job to look at things from heaven's perspective if we are to release heaven on earth. Throughout Scripture, we see God is the God of hope. He always wants to liberate captives. God always wants to give mercy to those who are weak. Jesus even came to proclaim liberty to the captives. And then we see the words of Jesus are all about the kingdom of God being at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. He even prays. He says, this is how you must pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Tell John that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. It's a happy kingdom and it's at hand. And so we need to see this earth from God's perspective. Third point is that we need to realize that God has promises and purposes over our lives to release His kingdom on this earth. How about that spelling? To release His kingdom on this earth. Good one. That's my fault, not Samson's fault. My fault indeed. I just want to read to you a scripture. We won't do all the others, Samson. We'll just read Hebrews 11 verse 6. So if you can just bring that up there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. See, if what we're doing isn't in faith, then there's no point in doing it. Why? I want to ask you, why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? I do what I do because I believe God has called me to make a significant change in this nation. God has called me to alter the culture and atmosphere around me. Now, you may say that that is too ambitious, but I agree with you. It is far too ambitious. That's the point. If it were a realistic vision and goal, then I'd be able to do it in my own strength. God wants us to rely on Him. He's pleased when we put our faith in Him and we say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need You to do it. So of course it's too ambitious. How much glory would God get if I did something in my own strength? We are taking impossible tasks, trusting that we can only accomplish them with His ability and not our own. I want to look at one person, Gideon, very quickly. in Hebrews 11 throughout all the people. Hebrews 11, for those that don't know, you can go and read it later. I was going to read it now. We just don't have time for that. But in Hebrews 11, the author lists all the great men of faith who did great exploits for God because they had a revelation of God's goodness. They believed Him and therefore they did what He had called them to do. And they were great exploits. I mean, Noah built an ark and there had never been rain. Can you imagine building an ark in the Sahara Desert, a big ship? It's like literally building the Titanic in the middle of the Sahara Desert where there hasn't been rain for who knows how many years. People will laugh at you, they'll mock you. But he had faith. He believed God. My friend, I believe God. I believe that God said, bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Go and disciple all nations. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. And he said it three different times. He said it to the 12, to the 72, and then again at the Great Commission. He didn't just say it once. He regularly said it. That's an impossible task. But I believe him at his word. And you may mock me and not like it, but I believe it. And I want to look at Gideon, who is one of these people who eventually believed God. You see, I didn't believe this at one point. I didn't believe that God could heal the sick, that God could heal cancer, that He could heal AIDS. Neither did Gideon. Let's have a look. In Judges 6. Turn to Judges 6 if you will. It is the 6th book in the Bible, I think. Is it? Sherwin? Good enough. Is it the 7th? Peter? Thanks. Hey, it's the 7th book in the Bible. The number of perfection. Come on, good choice. Judges chapter 6, not Joshua. I'm just going to read from verse 1. All right, although up till verse 10, God is displeased with the Gideonites. God is displeased with the Israelites because He had promised them that He would deliver them from their enemies. He would give them the land, that He would do it. All they needed to do was trust Him. And eventually they grumbled, they complained. They didn't want to take any more land. They were happy where they were. God wanted them to take more land. They didn't. They started saying, we're over it, God. They started disobeying God. They started putting their trust in themselves, not in God. The moment they started putting their trust in themselves, they eventually disregarded God entirely until eventually they so slipped to a place of depreciation, whatever the correct word is, where they were worshipping idols. And God was displeased with this because they distrusted His goodness, His ability to give them the promised land. And so God says, okay, that's what you're doing. All these nations around you are going to inhabit this land. They're going to conquer the land because you're not trusting in me. You want to trust in yourself? Watch what happens. And a number of different nations overtook the Israelites. So now they're in a state of disarray. And then we pick it up in verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Now just quickly, the Midianites were the enemies of Israel. And they were so ruthless, they would just come in at sowing time and at harvest time. When the Israelites would sow, they would just come in with their armies, they would take everyone out, they would take all their seed, they'd take it for themselves. And then whatever seed did get scattered, at harvest time they would come in and they would take all the harvest. So what Gideon was doing was, he was being like all the other Israelites. He was unbelieving God's ability and power. He was hiding in a wine press, which is a big vat, like a big silo sort of thing. He was hiding in there, threshing the wheat there, because he didn't want any Midianites to see him. He wasn't trusting in God's goodness. He was like, I better hide. And then the angel of the Lord comes, and he says, in verse 12, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon was hiding from the Midianites. It says right there that he was doing that in the winepress because of the Midianites. He was hiding. He wasn't mighty at all. He was hiding. But God sees things differently. God says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And my friend, even you tonight here, you may believe, I don't have what it takes. James, you're a great preacher. Thanks for that if you think that. I've got a lot to do, okay? But you may think, James, you're a great preacher, and you can say this stuff boldly, and you're a man of boldness, and you can just go into the streets and just preach and pray. It's so easy for you. But I'd like to tell you, my friend, you're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty son and a mighty daughter. Don't be like Gideon and look at your circumstances. God has called you to a purpose, and you don't have to go and preach for every single person, to every single person, and pray for every single person. You just be who God's called you to be. You conquer that kingdom that you're in, and God will give you great land. He's got a great inheritance for you. It's great. It's supernatural. Just don't believe the lie that says, well, what James is doing must be how you bring the kingdom to earth. And I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not like that. My friend, God has called you to be yourself, where you are, in the area of influence that you have. But He wants you to be yourself and multiply it to an absolutely impossible vision that you never thought possible. So, my fourth point was, Christianity is not about protecting what territory we have, but advancing the kingdom to take more territory. You see, the church is in the rapture's coming mode. Jesus is coming back, let's hold on until we die mode. The kingdom is about advancing. The kingdom is about forcefully advancing. Jimmy touched on it a couple of weeks ago. That's how the kingdom of darkness is pushed back when we advance. And we need to advance. My fifth point is, despite our weakness, God sees greatness. This is grace. This is grace. Jesus has made you great. He's qualified you. It's done. You are qualified. Stop disqualifying yourself. You are qualified for what He's called you to do. Oh, James, you have no idea what I go through. My friend, Jesus has given you everything you need for this life. He qualified you. It's not anything that you do. It's everything that He did for you. My sixth point is, looking at circumstances around you will only diminish your hope and keep you from entering into the promised land God has for you. Gideon answers in verse 13, but sir, heard that many times, but sir, because it's come from my own lips, but God, but, you have no idea what you are getting yourself into. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord was with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Gideon was so fixed on his circumstances, he couldn't see the ability of God. He couldn't see what was available to him. And friends, that's what we're stuck in church. We're not seeing healings. We're not seeing signs and wonders. We're not seeing kingdoms advancing. We're not seeing it in our lives. But, sir, friend, you can't look at your circumstances around you. Because when you do, it will diminish your hope. And my friend, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of hope. Honestly, when I drive the streets of South Africa sometimes, it can affect you negatively. I'm a sucker for newspapers. I walk into the shops and I go straight to the newspapers and then I read the first story. I'm like, why did I read that story? It's easy to get negative and it will diminish your hope. Don't look at the circumstances. My friend, there is a great hope. All we need to do is respond. God has a promised land for your area, wherever you may be, whatever it is that you're doing, He has a promised land for you. Whatever it is, if you are a domestic worker, God has called you to be the best domestic worker, and He's got the biggest inheritance for you as a domestic worker like you can't believe. It could very well be to oversee your own rent-a-maid company. Just keep going. Know that God has promises over your life. Whatever it is, He's called you. But now, okay, so now Gideon and this angel of the Lord, again, the angel of the Lord doesn't say, "You silly, what's wrong with you?" He just keeps encouraging him. "You have what it takes. I will be with you. The Lord will be with you. You have what it takes." And then Gideon says, okay. If you really are from God, I'm going to sacrifice to you. I'm going to make a sacrifice for you. So what he does is, the angel says in verse 18, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, etc., etc., putting the meat in the basket. 20, the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them," communion, we've just taken that tonight, "place them on this rock, pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and consuming the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, so he hadn't realized yet, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And my seventh point tonight is, it is a real encounter with the living God that will inspire us to radical revolution. And that, I know that immediately disqualifies people in this room, in their minds. They say, "Well, I haven't had an encounter with God," all this encounter with God stuff. My friend, an encounter with God could be reading the scripture and getting a supernatural revelation. It could be hope stirring up within you, beyond what you could imagine. Don't disqualify yourself by what you see. Okay, so Teresa was shaking and rolling and shouting and woo! What about me? Where does that leave me? The enemy loves to disqualify you. Don't disqualify yourself. God only has nice things to say about you. And He loves you. And He just wants to pour out His love for you. But, having said that, it is a real encounter. It's got to come by revelation. Supernatural. Again, Heidi Baker, I shared that when we watched Living Finger of God. Heidi Baker has an orphanage in Mozambique, Maputo, where she is feeding thousands upon thousands of people, her and her husband and her team, thousands upon thousands of people in Africa, and they've been doing it for the last 15 years. You cannot believe the fruit coming out of there. But for 20 years before that, they were tired and they were ready to give up. It was over for them. They were born missionaries. Roland Baker, her husband, was born into a missionary family. He had had enough. She had had enough. She studied theology, and they were sick and tired. And then they went to Toronto, where the Toronto blessing happened. The Holy Spirit was being poured out, and God ordained that she would be there that night. And Randy Clark made a call for people to come forward. Randy Clark prayed over Heidi and Roland, and they encountered God supernaturally. It was a supernatural, like, power encounter. And God said in that moment, Mozambique, to both of them, and to this day, we have one of the biggest orphanages, feeding schemes, missionary work you'll find on the planet today in Mozambique. It's a real encounter with Almighty God that will inspire us to radical revolution. Small God, small impact. Big God, radical revolution. And then, in verse 23, the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." My eighth point tonight is that God is a God of peace, and He will bring peace when you need it most. If I could just ask the worship team to come up, please. And we know from that encounter, the last thing that the angel of the Lord had said to Gideon was peace. And all of a sudden, Gideon had the courage to go, and he went and became one of the great men of faith who is listed in Hebrews 11. And I want to tell you just a little story of my own. In July this year, you know that we had the crusade into Claremont. That was birthed out of an encounter with Almighty God. Last year, at the conference, I was right here, and Rob prayed. He did one of his fire things. And I was down. I'd never had that happen to me before where no one had actually laid hands on me. I was down. I thought, I'd often sat in meetings where they go, fire! And then the people all fall down. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. And then it happened to me. God knocked me. I was out for an hour. My hands were burning. I was writing. The stuff I wrote was awesome. I still look back to it to this day. One of the things he said was the gospel is ready to be taken to the beautiful nation of the Zulus. And I knew the time was right. And I set up this crusade into Claremont. Everything fell into place supernaturally. I got tents, I got a stage, I got sound, everything. People just came on board, it happened. And the first night, the wind blew like you cannot believe. It was freezing. If I could say nobody came, nobody came. You know, you have an expectation of what it's going to look like, and it wasn't that. And the sound was a joke. We were all inside the tent because it was so cold. Some of you might have even been there. And I remember being on my knees in the meeting, and my head was spinning because I had worked so hard the weeks up to it, and my head was absolutely spinning, and I almost collapsed. I've never felt that before, actually. That night, I went to sleep at midnight, and I just thought, I literally felt so heavy, I couldn't sleep. I thought, oh Lord, what am I doing? This is crazy, Lord. I went to sleep, eventually. And I woke up with a supernatural peace that I cannot describe. Like Paul says, a peace that goes beyond all understanding. And the crusade was a resounding success. We saw almost 1,000 people give their lives to Jesus. The weather was perfect throughout the week from there on. It was unreal what God did. And I know that had it not been for that peace, I would have been a wreck. I don't know, I would not have been able to do what I did. My friend, the things that God has called us to invade this earth with His kingdom, they're impossible tasks. We need His peace. We need His peace. And what I'd like to do now is, for the next couple of minutes, I would like to declare over this church, over this people, over you here tonight, the life of God, the words of God. And if you have a word in your heart, if you would like to be one of those people that declares promises over the people here this evening, then I'd like you to come up. I'm going to take eight people, just eight people. I believe once it gets to eight, then you stay behind. That's fine. God is okay with that. If you have a word, you can go to that person. But just come up right now. If you would like to speak words of life over this church. Come on, Dean, just stand right here. And we're going to speak words of life, because the power of life and death is in our tongue. And God has called us to see things from a heavenly perspective, not from an earthly perspective. This earthly perspective will get you discouraged. It will get you depressed. And my friends, the thing that God has called us to as Christians is beyond what you are able to do. You need the words of life to speak to those giants in front of you. God has called us to great exploits, but it's only the words of life given to you by God Almighty within that these things are going to happen. And if there is a corporate prophecy, I'd ask you to agree with that in this place. Agree with a yes, with an amen. Yes, Lord. Agree with that. Because the power of agreements is underestimated. Father, I declare Highway Christian Community to be a church that would invade the impossible. I declare over this congregation, over these people, a royal priesthood of all believers. I declare over this congregation, a congregation that would bring the kingdom of heaven to earth in Jesus' name. I declare encounters with heaven, encounters with the glory realm, encounters with God Almighty. I declare over this place right now, I declare healings to come from these people, from these hands in Jesus' name. I declare supernatural encounters with people. You have set, you have ordained people to encounter you out in the streets, the lost, the dying. You have set us up to meet with those people. And so we declare those encounters right now in Jesus' name. We declare this church to be a house of glory, a church that will move it from one degree of glory to another with ever increasing glory. And no matter what is spoken about us, we will only speak words of life and life abundant. Only words of life will come from these lips in the name of Jesus. We will be a church. We will be a people that are not afraid of what you've called us to. We will be a people of courage. I declare boldness and courage in this place. I even speak to fear. People that are afraid of receiving you, God, receiving your Spirit. I speak to that fear and I say, peace, peace now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So with that, we're just going to prophesy. If you have, guys, if you have personal prophecies, that's great. Just speak them. Speak them with boldness. If they're public and corporate prophecies, then go for it.
Wow, like when I was sitting while James was preaching, I just had this very, very sharp, clear, like, picture. In fact, I actually saw it in the spiritual realm. I saw a giant arrowhead come down onto this pulpit, come down into this church. And I just felt God saying that, like an archer, He's marked this church. He's marked this church. He says, I can see you. I can see you. I'm looking at you. And I'm aiming at your heart. And He's firing like an arrow into the heart of this church. And He's saying, you're mine. He's marked it. He's marked it. And I just sense right now that God wants to just begin to mark your hearts. He wants to claim them. He wants to take them. He wants to fire arrows that don't bring death. He wants to fire arrows of life into your hearts. He wants to make them beat again. And I just sense right now, if you could all just open up your hearts, lift up your hands, do something just to cry out to God and just allow God to move within your life. Because God's saying, I can see you. I can see you. And I want to fire love into your heart. I want to fire peace into your heart. And whenever there's a spiritual barrier, whenever there's a wall that's been built, I want to bash down that wall and I want you to walk freely in my presence. I just sense right now that rivers of life are going to pour from this place. That the blood of Jesus Christ is going to leak from this place. And people are going to be drawn to it. People are going to be drawn to power. People are going to be drawn to the love that radiates and sits on people like residue in this church. And I just speak that word of life right now over these people. Right now, Father God, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just fire arrows of life into these hearts, Lord Jesus. Let our hearts beat for you, Father God. I just sense right now in the spiritual realm that there's a world invading. There's a world invading, and it's a different world. It's not of this world. It's the kingdom of heaven, and that it's going to begin to break through. That it's going to begin to break people free, and that God's armies are just going to invade. And I just feel that in your lives, you're gonna begin to manifest in your life as a warrior, as a fighter for the kingdom. And God's going to equip you with arrows, and you're going to fire those arrows into people's hearts, and people are going to feel that love and that love that Jesus has for them. Yeah, amen, man. Woo!
Just all those that are in the marketplace, I just really felt to declare over the Christians in marketplace that they would arise and that they wouldn't hide any longer in their offices, in their businesses, and wonder what God has in plan for them, that their business would be a separate thing, but that they would arise and that they would allow God and the Holy Spirit to just shine through them, that they would be lighthouses, that they would impact the people around them, that every boardroom that they enter into would there would be a certain and definite fragrance of God left behind in each boardroom, that they would have creative ideas that would just astound them and others around them. Father, that you would just birth ideas and birth models and business models and just everything, Lord, to do with business. Father, I pray that you would birth it into the hearts and minds of the marketplace Christian, that they would no longer hide in the wine press, Lord, but they would arise and be mighty warriors in the marketplace. I declare that over them. I declare favor over them, that they would get the deals, that they would get favor like they've never known it before, Lord. Father, that people would choose them over people that are more qualified, Lord, because there's a fragrance and there's a something there that they just want to be part of. Father, that they would start speaking, that people that are employed in businesses, Lord, that just their lives would start making those businesses flourish. That people with their own businesses, Lord, that you would just come with creativity, Lord, that those businesses would start to flourish and be so prosperous that we would be embarrassed by it, Father God. Father, I thank you that we would no longer hold on to that money, but Lord, that we'd be conduits of that finance, Lord, that we'd be bringing it into our storehouse, Lord, and that the kingdom of God will be advanced, Lord, that our local churches would just get so, just see vats getting fat and fat and fat. Father, no longer would we hold on to the blessing. Father, but we would just throw the blessing as you just increase us, Lord. I thank you for people that their capacity is starting to grow and expand, and they're going to just not understand how they have such incredible capacity. People that are feeling like they want to have their own businesses but have been too afraid to, God is going to give you the courage. He's going to give you ideas. He's going to give you the finances. He's going to give you everything that you need. People that will come around you and support you and build you up, and you will take that ground and you will make that vineyard yours, and you will flourish with it and you will prosper in it. I speak that over the marketplace Christians in this church and in Durban, in Jesus' name.
I want to declare, I just had a picture of this church. I saw this like a wet cement ground, and what God was doing was he was just taking the people in this church, and he was placing those people in this wet cement, and he was just taking every single person in the church, just placing in the wet cement until it was just completely, like, until it got cemented and it was dry, and they were unable to move, just completely solidified in it. And I had such a sense of God just pouring out, just sort of whirlwinds just coming around, just around people in the church, of God's love just being poured out. And I just felt to declare Matthew 6 verse 33. It says, "But seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all this will be added unto you." And it's seeking first His presence. And it's not by our righteousness that we reach into His presence, but by His righteousness. And all the things that we need in our lives. You read very previous in that chapter, he's talking about he'll give you the food, he'll give you the your clothes on your back. He'll provide everything you need. And the chapter before that's talking about the Beatitudes. So he's going to give you everything and more. He's going to give you the love and the joy that's just inside of you that will just explode out of you. Lord, I just pray for love just to invade, Lord. Just the love just to invade this church and people's hearts, Father. That when they're walking along the streets and their workplaces and in their schools or in their homes, Father, wherever they are, Father, I just pray for an overfilling, an overspill of love, Lord, that just leaks out of them. That when they see people, there's an overwhelming compassion for them. For that person who's got on the crutches, for that person who's on the wheelchair, for that person who's blind, for that person who's got no money, for that person who's just lying on the side of the road like a hobo or whatever it may be, Father, I just pray for, just as Christians, Father, just that love, Lord, that love, Father, just to overwhelm us, a joyous love, drinking of your love, Father, as we drink and drink of it, Lord, how intoxicating is that love, Father, how intoxicating, Lord. And as that happens, Father, let us smell a stench of love just come out of us, Father. A stench of love, a big stinky stench of love, Father, just all around us, Lord, that people just smell it, Lord, and just smell it, and they get so intoxicated by you, Father. Get so intoxicated by it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Encourage you. Some of you may be sitting here thinking, God, what do you want for me? I think of Isaiah 6, where Isaiah said he looked up into heaven and he saw the throne room of God, and he saw Jesus's throne and his robe fill the temple, and he said he suddenly beheld himself standing there, and he said, oh God, me of unclean lips and an unclean heart. And the angel came down and touched his lips and touched his heart with a coal, and suddenly he was in the presence of God, and he said, God, use me. Because God was saying, who can we use? And I think some of you just need to go into that place, picture yourselves down in the throne room before God, and just say, Lord, use me, because he's looking for a people that will be used. There are people out there that need to hear the gospel. He has a heart for people. He needs you, church. He needs you. Picture yourself down in the throne room and say, God, use me, because he will use you.
God's been placing in my heart for quite a while now is to heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. And I said, well, how's this going to happen? And on Thursday night, we crashed Fusion. And we raised the dead. No, we crashed Fusion. And then God showed me, he said, this room here. And he showed, I had to go around and have a look at it, because he said, the wheelchairs will come around here. They'll go up the ramp. People will be healed in this room here. They'll get out the wheelchair, they'll run down the steps, and they'll come up here and they'll worship the Lord. This is a place that the healings are going to happen right now, in Jesus' name, right now.
I just declare right now, just over Highway Christian Community, just a spirit of revelation right now. I just rebuke every single mindset that is contrary to the nature of God. I just pray right now just for revelations to pour out, just for one mind, for the mind of Christ to be in this church. One doctrine, one Christ. I just pray, spirit of revelation, just go right now.
On Thursday night, I had an incredible experience with God, and he just told me that his love was just going to come through our hearts, and his peace and his joy was just going to press on our hearts, and press so much on our hearts, it was just going to explode and start shining right through our heads, our hands, our whole bodies, and just flowing into other people. And as we walk past in, that they'll just get slain in the spirit while we're inside the shopping centers and stuff, and that he was just going to use us in a way that we didn't even imagine and even know that what was happening, but that stuff was happening just by walking past them. Yeah.
Oh Lord. Sure. When this service started, I came and I had that Switchfoot song in my mind, just going through my head, I dare you to move. And I was like, okay, what's this about? Like, you know, must we break out into that song in worship, or what's this all about? And God just said, no, just hold on to it. And James' word was all about being in the prophetic, and this is just me being obedient, and God saying, you know, like you're saying, when we advance the kingdom of God, that's when we actually take over from the kingdom of this world. And God is just wanting to just bring up those dreams back in people's lives tonight, where you've had a dream, where you've had a hope for something, and that hope was taken away. God is just saying, I dare you to move. Take the first step in whatever it is that you were wanting to do, that God had laid in your life. Just take that first step. And he's saying, take that step and see what I do. I dare you to move. And in every area, if it's in business, if it's in your family, if it's you want to see yourself working in healings and miracles, God is saying, I dare you to move. So Lord God, I just pray that you just bring a courage in us right now, Lord God, a boldness and a faith, Lord God, that is just so great, Lord God, from you, Lord Jesus, that we take that step, Lord God, no matter what, no matter how many times we see that it doesn't happen, Lord God, we don't lose faith, Lord God. We carry on taking that next step, Lord God, until you come in, Lord God, and you take over, Lord. and you just take control, Lord God. So right now, Lord God, for people who've had dreams, Lord God, people who've had visions and that's been taken away and they haven't seen it come through, Lord God, I pray, Lord, you reinstall that hope inside of them right now, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You are the hope of glory, Lord God, within us. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Just when the Spirit of God moves, there's a generalized prophecy, and there's also a specific prophecy, and I felt like there's two people that God's wanting to highlight tonight. One is a person that has had some family member quite close to them, is in hospital, almost unconscious, almost in a critical condition. I felt like God's kind of just saying that you're sitting in this place a bit skeptical, a bit about what's been shared, a bit about what you've heard, and I felt like there was a bit of hopelessness in your situation. And if you've, is anyone here that has a relative that's I just saw someone in a hospital bed. I saw a cotton wool, and I'll get more into that now, but I just wanted to find out if there's somebody here that word is applicable to you. Could you just raise your hand? Alright. So this word's for you then. I just saw that there was a picture of this cotton wool just kind of wiping over this person's brow. And this cotton wool was just cleaning up any dirt, any scarring, any wounds. And as God was just moving these perfectly white balls over him, the fact that you've raised your hand is that God has seen fit to show me this picture to encourage you, to bring hope to you, that you're not in a dead end street. This person's not in a dead end street, but there is, God is bringing hope into your situation, hope into your life. And you can trust Him. Trust Him with your life, with your heart. Trust Him with absolutely everything that you have. And He will minister into your situation like you can't believe. So Lord, for this person, we speak life. This person that's in hospital, we speak life and life in its abundance. That you would resurrect them, Lord. That you would you quicken our bodies, Lord. That's what your word says. So your Spirit would come upon them right now as a sign to him and to all of the people that know him, Lord, that he serves a one and true mighty God, because you're a God that resurrects us. You're a God that restores us. You're a God who loves us. Pour your power upon him, Lord. And I felt there's a second word was for, sorry, this lady that's second from the fire hydrant there. I know you're looking sideways, yeah. Have you just recently been searching for a friend, or you've just come into contact with a friend from school and it's been I just saw you like looking on Facebook or just kind of like looking for a friend, or someone's just come into contact with you recently, and I felt like there was a like something from school. There was almost like some friend from school that kind of come across your path and said, you know, what are you doing now? Where are you at right now? And you've kind of just had to sit down and say, well, I didn't. And maybe this was in a voice in your heart. I just saw you kind of just saying, I'm not in the place where I wanted to be. Where you kind of didn't see your life panning out the way that it has right now. And you kind of had big dreams and big hopes, big aspirations. And it's kind of like you also feel like it's a bit of a dead end street. And the Bible says that he's changing us from glory to glory. And that speaks of that your tomorrows are far brighter than your todays or your yesterdays will ever be. I saw a picture of a London Bridge lifting up, and the center lifting up like this. And I don't know if why it's specifically London Bridge, but I just saw it splitting, and I saw you trying to stand one foot on either side of it as the bridge was lifting up. And I felt that you're trying to sit down and say, is it left or right? I'm having to make decisions here. And I felt like God saying he wants you to fall into this river. He doesn't want you to turn left or to right, but he wants you to fall in the river, because in his river there is abundance, there is fullness of joy, and there is just life and its blessing. So word of the Lord just coming to her, ministering to her powerfully. You can see she's been moved by that. The word of knowledge can break open situations where people are skeptical and not too sure. And you can kind of just step out in faith, you know, with these things that word Robbie just brought. You know, just step out in a bit in faith and let, as you feeling the Holy Spirit move, just minister the word of encouragement to them.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. What we're going to do now is we're over time. So we're just going to end with a song of worship to the Lord and allow Him to be praised in this place. And then as we do so, we're going to take up the offering. So just for security reasons, we ask that you just stay where you're at, and no one leave just yet. Just for security, we do have to have a protocol in place. So if the guy's taking up the offering, would do that. And we're just going to worship. And then after that, once that song's over, Ron, we're going to close the service. You're welcome to go, but at the same time, you're welcome to stay and just soak up what God's done in this place tonight. And then we've got two other prophetic words over this church, which I'd like to release after that song. But if you'd like to go after that, then that's absolutely fine. We respect that. Alright, so why don't you stand and let's worship together as the team comes up. Yours, Lord. Lord, we pray that they would come to know you, Lord. They would come to know how much you love them, Lord. We thank you for what you've done here in this place, Lord. Just pray you'd keep moving over hearts. Keep wooing us deeper. Wooing us deeper in, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to go, I really understand that. I do apologize. It is well over time, so I do apologize for that. But if you'd like to go, you are welcome to. Ronnie and the team are just going to stay for another 15 minutes or so and just worship whatever he wants to. Another 2 hours, he says. And if you would like to go, you're welcome to go. Thank you. Bless you. There's toasted cheese sandwiches available for sale. But if you're staying, there are two words which I would like to release as declarations over this church. So, Crystal, do you want to share that word?
Yeah, evening church. I heard this word about 3 weeks ago and I was leaving to go home. And I just felt God say, just tell the church that I'm building a new wing in this church. And I just saw God really extend those premises. But it became like a worship center where I just saw particularly a whole bunch of ladies come into this church. It was like, in my spirit, I knew it was like a Saturday, and I just saw a lot of people just run into this church, like falling on their knees. And there was just like a bunch of like prayer going on here. But I just felt God say, yeah, there's going to be a great healing center in this church, and that this church is going to have like a huge wing of just a place where the sick and those that are really sore can come at any time. There's not restricted to weekends, there's not restricted to Sundays, but any time. And that God is going to just put that ministry in people's hearts. That's number one. And then I also just saw God just paint this church with a whole bunch of rich, beautiful colors. These colors were beautiful. And I just saw God say that, yes, His glory is here, but I just saw a whole bunch of prophetic dancers come out. I just saw people like dancing, and it was so prophetic because as they were dancing, their situations that people are sitting with their congregation, it was like resounding to the spirit what they were going through. And people were dancing for freedom, guys. And I just felt like, guys, get your dancing shoes on because it's going down. God is going to just, in this new wing, there's been great prophetic teaching, but a great release over this church. And I just felt like that's going to happen like in the next 3 months. I just felt it'd be directly or 3 months. But y'all, guys, let's get ready because the glory is here, man. Who's ready to swim, amen? We're called the river in heaven. I remind you guys, this church is the river in heaven. And if you want to swim, this is the time to swim in a strong current. Amen?
Tonight, we came back from our cell camp this weekend and we spoke about the prophetic and prophecy and how important it is to build prophecy on the message that we're receiving now, and we need to speak it out. And as he asked, as I heard him say about a word for the church, I don't know, I just went to Isaiah 43, and I just really believe as we end now, just close your eyes, just listen to this word and make it personal. Even in light of what has been said right now, God is doing something, and God is doing something great. But now this is what the Lord says, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. Listen to that. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba as your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, listen to that. That's what the Lord's been saying. And because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. To the south, do not hold back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who are created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes that are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together, and the peoples assemble. With them foretold as proclaimed to us former things. Let them bring this in their witness to prove that it was right. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord. You are the one who's going to do the work. Lord, we thank you for your word. We go forth in faith. We go forth in the anointing. We go forth in your power to acclaim what you've called us to proclaim. In Jesus' name, amen.